If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. While you're turning there, you might think, oh, I'm not into that age of doing those events, Pastor, or I don't have kids that would enjoy that. Come anyway, because I need a lot of people who are just friendly. Now, if you're not friendly, stay home. And we'll tell you all about it the next week. But if you're friendly, we just need a lot of people just walking around being nice to people. You don't have to enjoy it yourself as far as getting in a ride. You know what I mean? You're like, oh, I don't want to eat that food or I don't want to ride that ride. You don't have to. Just walk around and be friendly. We could use you to reach people for the kingdom of God. Amen? We're a team. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 through 20. I'm going to have you read that out loud. Tell me when you're ready. They got it on the screen. Are you ready? I'll give you a count. One, two, three, go. Amen. Give yourself a hand clap for doing an amazing job. Come on. Well, I guess some of you didn't think you did a good job, so that's okay. We've been doing a study on Ephesians, and we're coming to the end of it. We just finished a series of verses that talked about what we refer to as a recipe for powerful prayer, the armor of God. And so moving out of that, as we're moving past that context, I think it's interesting how Paul brings this context and he tells them to pray, and then he begins to ask them for something specific. Isn't that interesting? Think about that for a moment. The one who's teaching, the one who's preaching, the one who's praying is also saying, I need you to be praying for me. Here's what I want. A lot of times in the church world, we're afraid to include people in our own prayer life and say, hey, I'd like for you to be praying for me. Now, some people are on the flip side. They never want to do any praying, and they just want to give their to-do list to somebody else, and they feel like they got something accomplished. But here's Paul showing, and on a side note, that just shows you the power of the community called the church, the power of the body of Christ called the church. It's more than an organization. It's a living organism. Can I get an amen? And Paul brings up a couple things that I want to draw attention to. And he says here at verse 18, that utterance may be given. Utterance is in the original means not only utterance, but words or revelation. In all the revelation that Paul had, and he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, of all the information and revelation that he had penned that is now canonized in what we call the Bible, of all that information, he was still hungry, looking, searching for God to give him more revelation. That tells me a couple things. That Paul was, we find another text that Paul was a brilliant man in his own right. But even with his own accolades, even with his own IQ, even with his own intelligence, he began to and continued to have a heart saying, God, I need you to reveal to me. I am thankful for education. I am proud of people. We have many people in the house that have doctorates, that earn doctorates and PhDs. I value education. I myself have an MBA, but even with all that said, Paul gave us later a text saying, listen, with all my achievements, I don't consider that the main thing. The main thing has to stay my connection to God. Because as smart as you are by the world standard doesn't mean you're smart by God's standards. I know a lot of people with PhDs, 2 PhDs, 3 PhDs, that sometimes you look back and see them on news or in the media, and you're like, what are they thinking? Because just because you have a PhD or just because you have a degree doesn't mean you're always making the right choices and everything you say is correct. Oh, I have to believe them. They're a doctor. Well, have you ever seen a doctor be wrong? I remember years ago I was at a hospital with a family member, and the doctor that come in was a key person in Barnes Hospital. I mean, top individual. And he began to say something, and I just said, excuse me, doctor, not to be rude, but the last doctor kind of gave the opposite answer. Right. And he looked at me, and this is when I was real young in the ministry, real young, and he said, son, let me help you out. There's a lot of white coats, referring to doctors, but that was his phrase. There are a lot of white coats in this hospital, and if you ask them a question, they'll give you an answer. Right. And they paused and said, but most of them are wrong. Listen to me. I went, okay then. So a lot of doctors, all with the same degrees, all in the same hospital, and they still don't all agree. Just because someone with a degree says something doesn't mean they're right. That's why the Bible says, let all men be liars and God be true. That's why the word is eternal. Can I get an amen? And you can get all the experts in the world to line up and say one thing, but if it's in conflict with God's thing, then it's wrong. Did you hear me? It's wrong. And it's okay to say, wait a minute, I hear what you're saying, but that's not the truth of the word of God. Therefore, I'm not going to stand on what you're saying. I'm going to choose to follow the word of God. Can I get an amen? And for me that utterance or revelation may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. That I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery. That I may open my mouth boldly. At the last part of verse 20, he says, that I may speak boldly. One translation says, fearlessly. That I may speak fearlessly. That is something missing, I believe, in our generation today. That is something missing, I believe, in most churches today. We have been force-fed fear and conflict by so many different ideologies that many, don't get quiet on me, that many people, what you feed on is what you become. That's why Jesus said, beware of the teaching of the Sadducees, the Pharisees. That's why the Old Testament says, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. If you listen to fear, if you listen to fear, if you listen to fear, you'll become fearful. If you listen to hate, and you listen to hate, and you listen to hate, you'll become hateful. If you listen to division, and you listen to conflict, you'll become a person of conflict. And our society has been force-fed through media. Information that has caused people to become docile and fearful and quiet and angry and hate people. People they've never met. People they have no idea their true life. I mean, it's crazy. I don't care what your position is on, if you should get a vaccination or not get a vaccination. But I was watching the news and how they're hating on one NBA player that says, I choose not to. And people are getting mad. Why would they care? Has anybody took a step back and said, why do we care if he gets vaccinated or not? If one side is true and you have to or you'll die, then he'll die and he made the choice. Why would they care? If the other side is true and say vaccination helps, then why would they care? They're protected. But it's not about a vaccination, folks. It's not about a pandemic. It's about creating division and hatred and fear in society so that they can control people. It's getting kind of different. So that I may speak boldly, fearlessly, as I ought to speak. Notice I want to draw a connection here. That Paul is showing us that there's a connection between us being bold and not trying to act bold. There's a lot of people that are faking it till they make it. They're trying to pretend it. They're trying to be something they're not, and they carry the weight and the struggle of trying to bring effort to something that there is no energy. They're trying to bring effort to a place that they have no strength or energy or grace to do it. And Paul realized something. He realized that, listen, if I'm going to speak boldly, what I need is revelation. I need utterance. Yes. Most people are like, Lord, help me do this. Well, you got to back up and find out what the source is. Yes. And he's saying, listen, I know the source for me to be fearless. I know the source for me to be bold. And that's, I need to have revelation. I need to have understanding. Today, if you're going to title this message, it comes out of a phrase the Lord dropped in my spirit just recently. And as I was in my own time, actually in the gym working out, I heard the Lord speak to my heart. And here's the phrase he gave me. It's time to step out of the shadows. Yeah. It's time to step out of the shadows. It's easy to get along and fit in with everybody else in society. And I'm not saying be something you're not. I'm not saying be rude to other people. But I think it's high time that the church start becoming the church that God has ordained us to be. Do you hear me? More than a polished organizational system that has a smooth program that flows seamlessly and with excellence. And I believe in all those points and principles. But what has happened in the church world is we have more churches and church buildings than we do churches. We have more people with titles than we have pastors. We have more organizations than we have a living organism. The church is still the bride of Christ. It is the body of Christ. It is the living organism. And one thing that we have to realize as we get closer and closer and closer to the end time, there will be darkness that will get darker and darker, and evil will become greater and greater, and people will call evil good and good evil. And God showed us that in the scripture in advance, not so that we freak out, not so that we hide out, but so that we understand the principle that when it gets darker, you can become brighter, that you're called to be a light to the world. Can I get an amen to the people who believe that? Can you give a hand clap to the Lord if you believe that? That as it gets darker, listen, as it gets darker, as pressure builds, that's not your time to hide. That's your time to shine. It's time to step out of the shadow and become who God's called us to be. Because there's people in power, political, emotional, in the media, in the celebrities, in the movie theaters. There's people all over that have power and influence. Though they might not be right, they just like to be heard. And they have their view. They're blinded, the Bible says. The Bible tells us in Corinthians that the world does not receive the light of the gospel, that they've been blinded by the enemy. So what do you expect from people who are walking around blind? The blind will lead the blind. They're sure they're right, and yet they are wrong. And when pressure builds, you cannot bow your knee. Let me speak to you. If this is the first or last time you ever listen to me, I'm telling you, I believe in victory. I believe in conquest. But I'm telling you, that doesn't mean that you won't have challenges. And you got to be willing to stand up within yourself by the anointing of the Word of God and say, regardless of the opposition, when Jesus was awakened in the boat and they were going to the other side, when Jesus was awakened in the boat and they were going to the other side, and the disciples thought they were about to die, they woke him up and said, do you not care? Jesus, not only did he wake up, but you got to look at this. Not only did he wake up, before he dealt with the problem, he stood up. Are you listening to me? We have a lot of Christians that will wake up, but will stay down. Wake up, but hide out. Wake up. But one of the things he did, and from the natural, that makes no sense. If you have authority, just stay seated and deal with it. But he stood up. Say, he stood up. You have to see the picture here. Why would you stand up in a boat that's rocking? Well, because that can make you feel like you're about to fall. Why would you stand up in a boat when the winds are blowing? That could seem like it would knock you over. He stood up to let the winds know that at the greatest opposition they can create, it will not intimidate him to stay seated. Church, we are the church. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. We are essential. And we will not let any force or wind shut us up, keep us quiet, close the doors. It's irrelevant. We're not here for the government. We're not here to do what they want. We are here under the assignment of heaven, because heaven's making a demand. We have to step out of the shadows and speak and do what God's called us to do. You have to look. Even last year when they were shutting churches down, you have to understand, ask why. They leave a Walmart open. They leave a Home Depot open. They leave bars that they you want some beer. Here's a place you got to make sure that's essential. And yet they tell the church that you're not essential. Who do they think they are? I know who they think they are, but I know who they really are. Are you listening to me? And I'm telling you, the days are coming. Listen to me. The days are coming where if you think pandemic mindset is over. Listen, the COVID wasn't the first pandemic, and it's not the last. And Jesus said that at the end days, at the last days, Matthew 24, that it will come as a woman that's giving birth with travail. You know what happens? All you women, you tell me, when you start having labor pains, what happens? They get more intense and closer. Just as soon as one pandemic's over, they're going to find a different one. And it's going to, listen, and you might say, oh, pastor, oh, what are we going to do? We need to hide. You don't need to hide. You need to be. Amen. A light doesn't try to be the light. A light just is. Amen. A light doesn't try to be the light. A light just is. Amen. Are you listening to me? Well, how do I know if I have light? Psalms 119. The entrance, or another translation, the unfolding. The entrance of his word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. You don't even have to be educated to get this. You could be like Peter, and they looked at him and say, we recognize that they don't have the education, but they've been with the Lord. There's something different. They are bold because they've been with Jesus. That's what they need to say about you. They don't need to be bragging on your accolades and on your titles. You know what they should see when you walked out of the room? That you've left goodness and mercy because you've been with the Lord. You've been with Jesus. You are walking in relationship with him. There's a day coming. Don't be afraid of it. There's a day coming that it might get darker. Pressure might get, some of you, you've been exposed to some pressure. Oh, what am I going to do? Don't worry about it. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. But there's a shaking coming. There's a shaking coming because there's a lot of buildings, but not enough churches. And there's some shaking coming. What the enemy meant for evil, God's going to turn for good, because some pastors have lost their way and they will wake up. Some will step out because they were never called. There's a lot of people thinking it's a game and a gimmick and a good opportunity to make some money. And they are short-lived. They will not survive. They will not make it. Though they might grow fast, there's no root system. And when the winds blow, they'll be the first to fall. They'll be the first ones to close the doors. But don't worry about them. Don't worry about them. We're grounded in the house of God. We're grounded in the word of God. And when the winds beat against the house, you will stand in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's time to step out of the shadows. Amen. It's time to step out of the shadows. Yes. It's time to step out of the shadows. There's three areas that I want to draw attention to. Paul said, listen, I need understanding so I can be bold. And that's the end of this book. But at the beginning of the book, if you remember out of Ephesians 1, Paul began to pray and said, I pray. Listen, I pray. What am I praying? He's praying for the church. He's praying believers. I pray that the God of the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Don't go over that too quick. Right. For that word spirit means anointing. I pray that the Heavenly Father gives you an anointing. Yes. For revelation. Yes. Revelation. Revelation, that's an understanding that comes from the Spirit of God, not from the natural man, because 2 Corinthians tells us that the natural carnal man cannot receive the things of the Spirit. They look foolishness to him, but they must be perceived. They must be discerned by the Spirit of God. Amen. There's an anointing. You got to pray, Lord, give me an anointing. I want to be bold. I need that anointing. I need that anointing for understanding. I need the anointing. We have an anointing of the Word. Be filled, the Bible tells us. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. The word of the anointing. That means revelation, just not information. People walk around in the church world with a lot of head information, but you know that they don't have revelation, because revelation always produces boldness in life. Amen. Don't shout me down. But do we need information? You do, because it says in that verse that God give you the anointing, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Yes. You have to understand the word. You don't understand the word. You don't get into the word, and you're just looking for an emotional experience. You'll come out all messed up emotionally, and you'll go here and there and everywhere. You'll say things that'll look back and say, why did I say that? I just felt like that was God. That wasn't God. You just didn't know how to discern. You didn't know how to control your spirit. You didn't know how to bring things in alignment. That's why the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, separating the soul and the spirit. What does it do? The word of God will bring the alignment and say, nope, that's not the spirit. That's the soul. Which is your mind, will, and emotions. Nope, that's not the Holy Spirit leading you. That's the offense you had when someone didn't greet you right. Nope, you don't need to make that decision. That's not the Spirit. That's your feelings, because you weren't pumped up and encouraged. No. See, the Word of God, you need the Word. You need the Word. You need the Word. Paul prays, I pray that the Father of glory may give unto you the anointing, the Spirit. Let's throw it up on the screen. Ephesians 1, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the Spirit, the anointing of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Come on, look to your neighbor and say, I'm about to stand up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of us didn't realize we were in the shadows. You know why you can tell if you're in a shadow? Because there is no light. You're close to the light. But when you are in the light, when you're walking in the light, when you've reached, okay, I'm moving on. Yeah, yeah. I'll get preach another message. Wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. Notice what he wants you to know. What we need revelation on, the three things that Paul felt was important for the church of Ephesus. He said, listen, I pray that your heavenly Father, the Father of glory, the Father of Jesus Christ, that he'll give unto you the anointing of wisdom and revelation, that you might know what is the hope of his calling. What is the riches of the inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him up on high, far above all principality and power. That won't be on the screen. I'm just continuing to reset. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named.
Yes.
You know what I've noticed in the church world is many times in some circles, they stop at the cross. Praise God for the cross. Say it with me, praise God for the cross.
Yes.
Don't misunderstand me. I don't want to be misquoted. I'm so thankful for the cross.
Yes.
Because of the cross, our sins are forgiven.
Yes.
Because of the cross, the separation between God and man has been eliminated. Because of the cross, by his stripes, you were healed, 1 Peter 2:24. I'm thankful for the cross.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen?
Come on, say, I'm thankful.
I'm thankful.
Jesus died. He took our place.
Yes.
On the cross. But many Christians stop at the cross. You want to find a Christian who stops at the cross? I'll show you someone who lives and believes that their life should be a life of suffering. Because they stopped at the cross, where Christ suffered, where he died. But he did as a substitution. That means he took your place. He didn't do it as an example. He did it as a substitution.
Amen.
But Pastor, Jesus said, if you follow me, you deny yourself and pick up your cross daily. Yeah, you know what that cross is? Not being nailed to a cross. Show me some place where the Bible talks about you being nailed to the cross.
Not there.
No, no. You know what that cross is for you and I? It's when we deny ourselves and follow the will of God, even when we don't want to follow the will of God.
Right.
Let's get practical. When God tells you to forgive and all you want to do is get even. That's your cross for that day. When God says, hold your tongue, and you want to cuss him out. Come on, somebody. That's your cross for that day. When God says, I know they've been doing you wrong and talking about you behind your back, but I want you to do good to them. That's your cross for that day. See, some people over-spiritualize it. I pick up my cross daily. You haven't picked up anything. You've been living for yourself. And they live a life of suffering in their mind from God's perspective and because that they stopped at the cross. But the Bible doesn't stop at the cross. In the New Testament, that's the transitional step. Are you listening to me? That's the doorway into the house. That's the doorway. That's the threshold. That is the crossing over the threshold. That is moving into the family. That's moving into the house. You don't stay at the doorway when you go to someone's house. If they have a nice house and say, listen, I've made dinner for you. We want to invite you over. And you drive and say, wow, what a beautiful home God's blessed you with. And you can smell the food. Oh, what amazing aroma that food is. I'm so excited. And as you come to the door, you stop. What are you doing? Oh, this is all I can do. This is where I need to stop. Why are you stopping at the door? All right? Jesus is the doorway, right? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The cross is the doorway. Say the doorway. You maybe never heard it this way. You come to the door and you begin to experience, oh, look what God has available. Oh, I smell the aroma of the goodness of God. And you stop at the door because all you do is you stop at the cross. But the word of God doesn't stop at the cross. It doesn't stop at the cross. Oh, no, you need to have your eyes open so that you can understand the assignment of heaven for you. See, you can break those three things down real quickly as God's purpose for you, God's provision for you, and God's power for you. You got to write that down. God's purpose for you. I want to tell you that you might be wandering around just like Israel did for 40 years saying, I'm moving, but I'm not getting anywhere. I'm telling you, God knows the plan he has for you. Amen.
Amen.
God knows the assignment he has for you. Amen. Come on, talk to me, church. You have an assignment. You have a purpose. There is nobody else like you. You have a fingerprint, one of a kind, of all the people ever been born. You are the only one with that fingerprint. The uniqueness of your Father, the creator of heaven and earth, that you can call Daddy God. He has an assignment for you. And the devil will tell you that you're worthless and you can't produce anything and it's too late for you. But I'm here to tell you that Psalms 1 tells you that those who are camped in the house of God, that everything they put their hands to will be prosperous. God has some stuff for you to put your hands to. He has an assignment for you. He has a purpose for you daily and over your span of your life. Don't live in the shadows of that. Don't live in the shadows of it. Don't let the devil lie to you. Don't let the devil lie. He has blinded the minds of the world so they, lest they see the light of the glorious gospel. They can't believe it because they live in unbelief. Their eyes don't see it. But I'm telling you, when you begin to hook into the word of God of who you are in Christ and the assignment your heavenly Father has for you, your eyes will be opened by the anointing of the word of God. You'll begin to see, wait a minute, God has good things in store for me. Maybe you have lived heck on earth in your past. But I tell you, starting today, heck is gone, heaven's come, and life is changing for you today in Jesus' name. Come on, if you believe that, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Why are we standing in the shadows of what can be? It's time to step out of the shadows of what God's called us to be. Say, I'm stepping out of the shadow. We don't have to, I heard some good things and you never experienced it. That's not of God. I get encouraged on Sunday when pastor says from the word of God and shows me what's available to me, but I never taste and see. Well, that's not the word of God. The Bible says taste and see and know that he is good.
Yes.
That means you can experience him and you can see him.
Yes.
If you're not experiencing him and seeing him in that area, don't feel bad. You're still on a journey.
Right.
Hebrews 6:12 and Hebrews 11:33, through faith and patience, we inherit the promise of God.
Amen.
No. What are we going to do? We're going to step out of the dark, the shadows, and into what he has for us.
Amen.
How do we do that? You got to do it boldly, fearlessly. That comes out of the revelation. That's your purpose, your hope. Not only that, your provision that God has for you. God doesn't want you struggling. You're trying to meet your own bills. He wants you so blessed you can help somebody else that hasn't got there yet. He wants you so blessed that you're impacting your generation with the gospel. He wants you so blessed that you can impact. Can you imagine? It's one thing to get. There's a level. There's levels, folks. I'm sorry. There is levels. This is not a level based on what you might go to England and watch Downton Abbey and see what they have all this. No, I'm talking about in the level of impact and influence. There is a level where you can not only be blessed, but you're blessing someone. And then you're blessing next level, blessing others. And then it keeps growing and you're blessing more people. There is a level where you can impact a generation. There's a level you can you imagine having so much money you go into a city? Maybe it's a poor town. Maybe it's a city in the Philippines where we have churches. You walk in and your generosity is able to change a generation. How'd you like to drop a few $1 million on a community with the gospel and teach them the word of God? Listen, I'm not against people. Brother Ted says, everybody's somebody to Jesus, even if they haven't got on the right track yet.
Right.
And you see some people that don't have the truth do stuff. You're like, how in the world they're doing it? And they don't even. I'll go to the Philippines, and there's one cult out there, and they in every little small town there's just massive buildings, and they feed the people. Why? Because they know if they can get them and feed them, they can reach them. But they're not even reaching with the gospel. And the church sits back and says, we just need to pray harder. And we need to pray. Don't misunderstand me. But if all we do is pray and we don't fish, if we don't reach, we don't feed, we don't help, what difference are we making in the world?
Right.
You might feel good about yourself. Well, it's getting quiet. Can you imagine walking in and saying, forget them, we're going to build an impact center and we're going to make a difference in this part of the country, in this part of the world. We're going to feed people, we're going to educate them, we're going to teach them about the goodness of God, we're going to demonstrate the power of God, we're going to pray for the sick and see them healed, we're going to make a difference. We have come, are you listening to me? This is so burning on the inside of me. You have not come to the kingdom to sit quietly by. You have come to the kingdom for such a time to make a difference. Your life will make a difference. Let it be of such nature that they have to write books about you because they can't put it on your headstone after you're gone. Anything they write on your headstone will not be enough. You have not come to survive. You have not come to get by. You have not come to fit in. You have come to be the light that God has called you specifically to be in your generation, in your area, in a way that cannot be denied, that cannot be erased, that will make a mark that they will not and cannot get around. That's what was happening to Peter and John. They were on their way to church. And a guy at the gate, the Bible says, began to cry out, asking for money. And you've heard the verse. Peter says, silver and gold have I not, but what I have I give unto you. Rise up in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And he begins to rise up and runs and leaps. And they are like, what is going on? And so they arrest him. They arrest them both. It's in Acts. They arrest them. And they don't know what to do because here's the person who did have a notable miracle. We need more notable miracles. We need more demonstrations so that even the people that are against you can't deny it. Amen. They didn't know what to do with them. They didn't know what to do with them. They didn't know what to do with them. Because every place, they're like, okay, we can't deny it, so let's just try to quiet them down. Let's threaten them. No one likes to be threatened. But I think what's interesting is when they were threatened, the Bible says they went back to their own community. They went back to their own group. They went back to church. You need to have a group of people. If you think church is just something out of discipline or that makes you look good in God's eyes, you are missing it. You need the local church. You need to be on a regular basis. It's not I'm not that good. No, you need the house of God. Yeah. Listen to me, church. More than the idea of what most people think the church is, it's a place where you can get around other Christians that will pray with you, encourage you, and be there with you. You need your own group like that. Oh, I'll just watch it on TV. You're going to miss out. You need to have that. The Bible says as the day approaches, we need to be gathering more, not less. And don't you think the Holy Spirit knew about TV? Don't you think the Holy Spirit knew about internet? Don't you think the Holy Spirit knew about every tactic? Don't you think they understood pandemics in those days? Are you kidding? They had lepers. They didn't know what to do with that. Man, it's getting quiet. But I can't find anywhere in the passage where Jesus told a leper to stay 6 feet away, but that's just mine. God's purpose, God's provision. We need to step out of the shadow. I speak into your life. I don't know where you're at. Maybe the enemy has been holding you back financially. And like I said last week, it's like a rubber band around your arm, stopping the natural flow of blood that God's already provided you. And you begin to throb and say, oh God, fix my hand, it's hurting. And God says, no, I want your eyes to see so you can remove by the authority I've given you, Matthew 18:18, where you can begin to remove what the enemy set up to steal, kill, and destroy. Because you don't need more blood. What you need is to remove what's restricting what's already belongs to you. See, I'm stepping out of the shadows. So you can try to fit in and belong. If you want everybody to like you, act like you have nothing, and everybody will either feel sorry for you or you won't be a threat to them. But when you begin to shine, you'll become a threat to people. So don't worry about everybody liking you. You'll get more haters than you do people, and there'll be followers. Don't worry about that. If you're trying to get it, if you're trying to become visible or successful or blessed because you want more people to approve of you so you feel better about your self-image, that's not the way to do it. Because the more visible you get, the more people you have that are critics. Not just because they might have a voice to criticize you, but in today's technology, boy, we make it easy for anybody to criticize you. But the reality is there's people that don't want you to get ahead because it makes them in their own self look like they're bad because they didn't get ahead. I mean, it's like a big old bucket of crabs. Have you ever seen crabs? You throw a bunch of crabs. I remember as a kid, my parents would take us to Florida, and at night we'd take a flashlight and a bucket, and you go out on the beach, and you can find these little crabs. And you can grab them real fast, and they won't pinch you if you grab them just right, which took me a long time to figure out what just right is. But you grab it, and you throw them in the bucket. And you know what happens when they get in the bucket? They just start trying to run and scurry around. But when they start, one starts trying to crawl out, do you know what the other crabs will do? Pull them back in. You would think they would say, hey, someone found the way out. Let's all follow. Human nature's that way. When you start doing well, start doing good, you know where I get that from? The Word of God, Mark 10. You know, most people quote Mark 10 about Jesus saying to the rich young ruler, you have to sell all your possessions and then follow me. And he didn't. And the whole passage about them saying, and most people, that shows you God doesn't want you blessed. Because the disciples said, Lord, what are we going to do? And Jesus said, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than a rich person to get into the kingdom. That wasn't saying that it was impossible to understand eliminating all the things that are baggage in your life so you can make one Lord. Because Jesus said you can't have two Lords.
Right.
You'll serve one and ignore the other. You can't serve God and money.
Right.
Doesn't say you can't have money. Paul told Timothy to tell those who are rich in this world's money that they should not depend on it but trust on him who richly gives us all things to enjoy. But in Mark's Gospel 10, Peter was like, oh yeah, Lord. We've forsaken everything to follow you. And if it would stop there, you could almost have a good argument that God doesn't want you blessed. Now, I think this whole argument about being blessed is foolish, because if you had a pillow, if you slept on a pillow last night and have more than one pair of shoes, if you have two more pairs of shoes, then you are in the top 8% of the world income. Most people analyze rich or being blessed based on who they see on TV.
Right.
And they don't think they have much. That's why everybody should go on a mission trip at least once to a third world country. And you begin to walk in saying that everybody who is an American citizen is richer than they realize. You are blessed.
Amen.
This is a blessed nation.
Yes.
This is a blessed nation.
Amen.
This is a blessed nation.
Amen.
This is a financially blessed nation.
Yes.
In India, if you have a bike, you're rich. See, if you're going to compare, let's compare to the whole global side and not just a Kardashian side. But I'm praying to believe, if you're struggling in an area of your finances and you're not reaching the level that you believe God has for you, just stretch your hands up. Father, in the name of Jesus, I curse every tactic of the enemy that would try to blind them, hinder them, or stop them from all that you have available to them, Father God. And Holy Spirit, I ask you to open their eyes to see you, Father God, as the source and what they need to do. And Father God, I thank you that you're sending angels to bring to their path all that belongs to them as they walk it out by faith. In Jesus' name, and if you believe it, shout, I'm stepping out of the shadows today. Back to my illustration, I'm still at the door. So if somebody has a big house and a great meal invited you, and you come to the door and you stop at the threshold and say, wait a minute, I got to stay here. No, the cross is the threshold. We have to step in out of the shadows into his glorious light. That's what salvation is. It's bringing you in. It doesn't stop at the cross. It goes on to the resurrection. It goes on to the resurrection. It moves into the resurrection. When a Christian begins to understand that Jesus not only died, but he rose again. In fact, Paul says if the resurrection didn't happen, we are all in trouble.
Right.
The resurrection shows the demonstration of God's power to override any power on the earth.
Yes.
The resurrection is the demonstration where Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me.
Amen.
Without the resurrection, you're fighting an enemy you can't beat. But with the resurrection, you have the authority in the name of Jesus to defeat an enemy that nobody else can beat. With the resurrection, you understand the power that is exceeding. He set him on high, far above all principalities and powers. What you need to do, though, you can't have boldness in that power until you have a revelation of that power. See, we need them both. We need the spirit of wisdom and revelation so their eyes will be open, that we can realize that we are not weak. God is not weak. He is all powerful. He is all powerful. He is all powerful. He is all powerful. I'm reminded of the story of David, which I love that story. And many of us have heard of David and Goliath, right? And he's not even in the army. And the Bible says that his father sent him. He's going back and forth, and the father sent him to take food. And the morning he was taking food, he was coming up to his friends that are in the battle, and the soldiers. And the armies would meet, but the Bible says that Goliath was so successful that he would step out in front of his own army. He would get into the valley in the open area and begin to mock Israel. He'd begin to taunt them, the Bible says. He'd begin to say, listen, just send me one person. We'll fight one-on-one, winner takes all. Most of you know the story about the staff and the rocks and the sling. But before we even get to that, what you have to understand is the Bible tells us, look it up, look it up. Challenge everything I say with the Word of God. I'm not here to spoon feed you everything. And the Bible says that that David was there, when he noticed something, he not only noticed the giant, he noticed them leaving. the soldiers that were supposed to be fighting were running. And they were fleeing. They were hiding in the shadows, you might say. And they begin to tell David, did you see that giant? Did you see that giant? Did you see how big he is? Do you hear what he's saying? When you're in fear, you will magnify the opposing enemy. When you're in fear, you'll talk in detail about what the doctor said, about what the enemy said, what the boss is threatening you with, what the threatenings are. Oh, did you hear? Everything's on the negative. You will magnify the negative. Stay with me. But what you have to understand is in that moment of history and time, David had already been anointed to be king by the prophet Samuel. Do you remember that story? That's already happened. So he's already got the anointing, but yet not the opportunity. And what some people thought as a crisis, he knew was a turning point because the anointing stirred him. He had the anointing and he understood covenant. How do I know that? Because David began to say, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he mocks, taunts the armies of the living God? He was like, listen, if you're going to offend the army of God, you've offended me. You're attacking God, you've attacked me. Who does he think he is? But what I want you to know, there was not only a fight within David because the king's anointing, which he had been anointed with, the king's anointing, the purpose of the kingly anointing was not the same as the prophet anointing. The prophet anointing was to hear from God and be the voice of the people to God. The priestly anointing was the anointing to stand before God and minister in place for the people. But the kingly anointing was a different. Are you listening to me? The king, because you are called to be kings and priests unto the Most High God on this earth as an ambassador. The kingly anointing was to bring the order of God, the will of God. It was to fight the opposition. Anybody who came in conflict to attack the will of God, the kingly anointing would rise up in battle and say, wait a minute, they might be bigger, but I'm not looking at them. I'm looking at who I'm standing for. Come on, somebody. Stay with me. Because the anointing, listen, the anointing will change how you see things. We see that out of Ephesians, that the Spirit, that the anointing of God, wisdom, revelation, that the eyes of your understanding, the eyes, your perception of understanding would be enlightened. It will change your perspective on the situation. Without the anointing of the Word of God, you will see the enemy every time as you cannot overcome them, and they're so big. You'll talk about, oh, it's a bad report. You'll know all the details of the negativity. Did you see how big he is? But you know what David said? Do you know what David said? David never referenced how big the giant was. David referenced two sides. David referenced his origin and his place in the covenant. He said, this uncircumcised, which means he has no covenant right. And he said, he called him a Philistine. So he wasn't from, he talked about his origin, where he came from. And he understood and talked about, he didn't say anything about, man, that's a big giant. No, he says, he's out of covenant, out of covenant, out of covenant. Some of you are going to begin to understand. And when the anointing gives you perspective, and God forbid a doctor give you a negative report, you're going to stir, the word of God's going to stir within the inside of you because of the anointing. And you're going to say, out of covenant, out of the will of God, out of the will of God. This is not God's will for me. And then you're going to say, it's from hell. It's from hell. This is not from God. You're going to talk the origin. Where does it come? The origin. It came out of hell. It came out of the pit of hell. For Jesus said in John 10:10, I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. But there is a thief who's come to steal, kill, and destroy. I recognize this is from the devil. This is not from God. Religion's got some of us so confused, and I'm not into religion. I'm into a real relationship with Jesus Christ. And religion's got us so confused that we don't always know if we get knocked down. Did God do it or did the devil do it? You don't know the origin. You don't know the origin. You don't know how to fight. I'm going to speak to that giant killer on the inside of you for a minute. Let's bypass your historical thinking. Let's move past the traditions, because the Bible says your traditions have made the word of God none effect. Let me speak to the giant killer on the inside of you before you ever kill a giant. Let me tell you what the word says about you. Are you listening to me? Because it's high time we step out of the shadows and begin to step into his glorious light and be the church. I'm telling you, there's a day coming where the heathen will rage, where the atheists will talk, and they can't deny the truth and the power of men and women who are children of God, who know how to stand up by the authority of God and change the situation. Psalms 112, verse 7. I've never read this before in a sermon, so this is a first. I love it. Psalms 112, verse 7 through 10, New Living Translation. It says, they do not fear bad news. They confidently trust in the Lord to care for them. They are confident and fearless and can face their foes. It doesn't mean you don't have an enemy. Face your foes, your enemies, triumphantly. Woo, come on, somebody. They share freely, give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever, which means even in battle, you're still meeting the needs of other people. We talked about that already. You don't wait till you get through and become victorious to help other people. Help people while you're still in the battle.
Amen.
They will have influence and honor. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
Catch this. The wicked will see this and be infuriated.
Yeah.
Folks, go, if you have this on your car, go to your car and rip off the bumper sticker that says, can't we all get along?
Right.
Coexist with all the different symbols of religion. No. Because there's evil people. There's evil people. And God didn't say, let's just live a quiet life so that even the evil people will like us. He says, listen, you're going to live a life that the wicked will see it. Not church people see you blessed. Not church people talk and say, oh, you're highly favored. But when the wicked see that you're blessed. Come on, somebody. When this wicked see that you have the peace of God that exceeds your understanding. When the wicked see that you are bold and courageous when everybody's hiding in fear. When the wicked see that you're the head and not the tail. I'm tired of us talking about it in the camp of the church and trying to mentally agree with each other and we don't see it. It doesn't stop with the believing. It goes to the seeing. When the wicked see it, it's high time we step out of the shadows and let the wicked see that the God we serve is real. Hallelujah. When the wicked see you blessed, when the wicked see you successful, when the wicked see you in high positions of authority, some of you are in the political world, I decree that you're going to climb that ladder so fast that the wicked will bite their teeth because they can't stop you from advancement. Are you listening? Some of you are starting businesses, and I decree that you're going to see your business so flourish that those that are out there that hate you and hate God won't understand you. When the wicked see it, I'm not going to stop there for a second. We need to hang out here for a little because some of us, all we have is talk. I am so fed up with preachers that come to me and all they have is talk. Some of them, they call it faith, but I understand confession. I understand faith, but there's a difference between faith and lying and deceiving people. I had one pastor bring a minister friend to me, and afterwards I said, don't bring him back here to talk to me again. I don't mess around. I don't have time. I'm a likable guy. I like people. But man, when you get into that anointing, I don't mess around with foolishness. I'd be telling me all this grandiose thing trying to impress me. Why are you trying to impress me anyway? Why are you trying to impress people? You need to impress God. Don't worry about anybody else. And all I had to do was ask a question, sometimes two questions, sometimes one question, and cut right through to the truth. Oh, somebody gave me this mansion. I don't care if you have a mansion or not. It's between you and Jesus. God bless you. Be blessed. I said, someone gave you a mansion. Oh, yeah. Someone handed you the keys and the title of a mansion. Oh, no. We spent money out of the ministry. Well, you can do that if you want, but don't say that someone handed you a house. I don't mess around. I'm sorry. I love you. I don't play games. That's why I don't do counseling. I'm not a good counselor. You're full of crap. I'll tell you. You're full of crap. Don't talk to me. Don't mess with me. Don't sugarcoat it for me. I want the real deal. I'm serious. I just like the real deal. I'm not saying you got to be negative. And I'm saying we need to speak the word of God. But don't be lying to me. I'm tired of people in the church world. All they got is talk, and the world sits back and laughs while they're taking the money, while they're taking the positions of power, while they're taking the positions of influence, and we're settled because we've convinced three people we're important. And in the real big picture, you're not reaching anybody yet. Rise up, church. You have a big destiny. The wealth of the wicked belongs to you. We're waiting for everything to drop in our lap, and we sit back quietly by in a lazy spiritual stupor, and we think God don't want you to have it. Rise up and be the men and women of God. Take it by force. Take it by faith. Let the wicked see. Hallelujah. You're going to have people talking about for you and people talking against you. Don't worry about the people talking. You need to be listening to the one who's speaking. Let the word speak to you. Hallelujah. I think we've gone past our time, but we're going to stay here. I'm not done with my verse. Notice, let the wicked see. Oh, I want them to like me. They'll never like you anyway. But they're only nice to your face. They're still running you down behind your back, so just leave it. Let the wicked will see this and be infuriated. They will grind their teeth, hallelujah, in anger. Ha, ha, you got to smile. I hate you. Well, that's between you and Jesus. I don't know. Let the wicked see and be infuriated. We had somebody, I love this, we had somebody to track down my wife through the thing and said, your husband's the Antichrist. And I said, wow, finally I've hit a level now that people really criticize me. Who cares what people say? And when the devil starts roaring louder, you ought to start smiling bigger. You're on to something, baby, because all of a sudden, God's using you and infuriating some people. Let's just kumbaya and everybody feel warm and fuzzy. Yeah, it's not going to work. They will grind their teeth in anger. They will slink away, their hopes thwarted. Let me give you the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 2 says, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. And through us, through you, child of God, not through your neighbor, not just through your pastor, not just through a minister you know, through you, through you, through you, through all of us, through us, spread and make evident everywhere the sweet fragrance of the knowledge of him. It's more than just talking, it's walking it out. Where the wicked see it with their natural eye and cannot deny it. See, I'm stepping out of the shadow. Come on, say, I'm stepping out of the shadow. I don't know if you need this in your area of destiny and direction, or if you need this area of provision, or need this in the area of battles and need the power of God, or if all of it. But I'm serious. I feel this in my spirit. The anointing is about to hit this crowd. If you lift your hands, if you need this, the anointing to step out of the shadow, it will, the revelation and understanding that comes from the word and the covenant of that word that will open your eyes so you begin to see. Father God, do the work you're doing right now. Complete it. Touch them right now. It's not by man. It's not by might or power. It's by your spirit. Let that anointing come now on their lives in Jesus' name. Now on their lives. We step out of the shadows today. And never to be the same again. Come on, if you believe, don't stop now. Don't look for a quick, you're looking for a quick emotional buzz. Come on, give them a praise. Give them a thanksgiving. Come on, give them a praise. I'm going to walk you through the process a little bit. Come on, give them a shout. Shout unto the Lord. Shout unto the Lord. Give a shout of praise unto him. It's more than emotion. It's a principle. I'm going to praise him when I feel it. I'm going to praise him when I don't feel it. I'm going to praise him when the things are going my way. I'm going to praise him when it seems like all hell's against me and nobody's for me. And oh, I don't know what to do. I'm going to praise him regardless. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! You are called to win. You are more than a conqueror and overcomer. Hallelujah! Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Don't try to run from the fight. Some of you got to know, you got to stay in the fight till you win. Amen. Don't try to make a truce with the enemy. Don't try to find a peace treaty with the enemy. Right. You stand your ground. Amen. You get back in, I feel that in my spirit. Get back in the fight. You can have peace in your spirit, but sometimes you got to go to war. Get back in that spiritual fight, for you don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers, and darkness, spiritual wickedness, high places. You got to stand your ground and say, wait a minute, I'm not going to tolerate that no more. Because Matthew 18:18 tells me what I tolerate is going to stay, and what I do not tolerate will have to leave. What I bind on earth, another translation, will be bound, and what I loose on earth will be loosed. Yeah, get back in the fight and say, no, as far as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I've done allowed you, devil, in that door, and you have set up shop. And I'm telling you, today is vacancy day. Today is moving day. Today you better have your butt out of my house before I get home, or you're going someplace you don't want to be. Get back in the fight. Don't tolerate what the devil's serving. Don't take what the devil's selling. Tell him no. Tell him no. You're stepping out of the shadows, and you're going to be the light that God wants you to be in your world. Not trying to compete and compare with anybody, but you being who God's called you to be, having what God's called you to have, doing what God's called you to do.
Amen.
Let's make a difference. Amen? Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We're going to... With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not asking if you know about God. I'm not asking you to join a church, denomination, or religion. I'm asking you this one question. Is Jesus Christ real to you today? In the way you process, the way you experience, the way you understand, the way you look at life, is he real to you today? That you know without any question, shadow, or doubt. If you don't know him that way, you can. Revelation 3, he says, I stand at the door and I knock. If you open up, I'll come in. I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer, short prayer, but will have eternal impact in your life. For those who call upon the name of the Lord, Romans 10, shall be saved. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you, this is your day. Say this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I turn to you today. I repent of all my sins. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and rose again for me on the third day. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, I invite you to come into my heart, into my life, and be my Lord and Savior. Wash me in your blood. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Amen, church. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap for praise.